Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by Terzo, an authentic upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. Today's guest is John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part two of our conversation. Well, John, what about the Madison Bumgarner progress and what that means for the Giants? Because, you know, they're not playing well at all, and you wonder, you don't really want to rush somebody when it's kind of a lost season here. So he seems like he's anxious, though. I mean, I saw where he didn't want to wait an extra day there because they couldn't get the field in Colorado, so he made sure that he was throwing on Saturday somewhere else. So what do you think about the whole progress of Mad Bum and the timetable they have set for him?
Yeah, I don't think it really matters. It's not like he's going to come back to a pennant race. It's not like he's going to lead him over the hump. He's going to be the savior in this season. By the time he comes back, which is going to be late July, if there's a setback, maybe early August. But I mean, he's at the very beginning of his rehab pitching, and he threw 25 pitches in a simulated game Saturday. He'll get 3 days rest and throw another one Wednesday, again in Arizona. And that might be enough, but, you know, depending on how he looks Wednesday, he could throw one more of these sim games, and then he'll be off to the minor leagues. And this is just like spring training for him. So it's not like he'll be back anytime soon. It's not like he'll, you know, work his pitch count up quickly. I mean, he's at 25 now, so... again, by the time he gets back, he's not going to make a difference to the season. The season is a lost season. It's really about getting him back on the mound. Whenever that happens, getting him sharp, whenever that happens, and looking forward to next year, 2018, he'll probably be the opening day starter.
What do you think his attitude about it is? Seems like, you know, he's never been through anything like this. Just seems like he's real determined to get back strong soon.
Yeah, he set a goal for himself to start throwing on a certain day, and he reached that goal. He is doing all the things he anticipated doing and the doctors anticipated him doing. He hasn't had any setbacks yet. You know, the ribs, the shoulder. He was beaten up after that dirt bike accident April 20th in Denver, and it really was the first time in his life, in his career, he had any kind of injury. You know, he's made every start since he got called up, and suddenly he's on the disabled list. And, you know, you're in your 20s, you think you're invincible, you're riding this dirt bike on the off day in Colorado. Nothing can go wrong, right? Well, he's not invincible. Nobody is. And now, you know, he's suffering the consequences, as is the team. And it was a big lesson learned for everybody in baseball, you know, cool it on your off days, right? But yeah. In his case, he's kind of a bulldog. He doesn't like this business. When Harper and Strickland went at it in San Francisco 3 weeks ago, he wanted to be out there.
Oh, with, yeah, he did.
With Morse. He wanted to be out there with Samardzija. He wanted to be out there protecting and bumping heads and maybe throwing punches if need be. But, you know, as you saw in the video clip, he couldn't go on the field or else he'd be suspended. And, you know, that'd be another setback for him to be ready, but having to serve a suspension once he's ready. So he just walked away, and that was hard for him. You know, he's kind of been a leader of this team, you know, a physical, emotional, spiritual leader of this team. You know, everyone get on my back. I'll carry you,
right?
You know, into this postseason. I'll carry you past the Royals in game seven. Throughout the entire postseason in 2014. So, hey, this is all new for him, and he's just trying to adapt. But it's really affected him and the team.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website, www.terzosf.com, for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs. Speaking of Strickland, he had his appeal denied, so he ends up, he has to serve the 6-game suspension. What'd you make of that whole thing? You know, when I look at it, if he's going to admit that he was throwing at Harper, then of course they're not going to reverse anything there. I mean, and initially he said, you know, oh yeah, I just got away. I didn't throw at him. So I thought it was a little odd the way that whole thing transpired with him. And I'm not sure about his standing with the Giants now. I mean, there are some people that think that he should be traded just because of that incident. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know about that. He's better than, you know, if you saw the game Monday, you know, maybe he keeps it a 3-0 game.
Yeah, the pen has not done a good job.
It's so rare for them to have late game leads to use their setup guy and then their closer that, you know, the bullpen's all messed up that way.
Because it's
not the way it was designed to use, you know, the closers as the guys who are now trying to, you know, protect a small deficit, but instead they turned it into a big deficit. So, you know, he's got value. He throws hard. He's better than he was a couple of years ago. He's adjusted to the game. He's smarter. He's more experienced, and he gets it. He knows how to retire batters, where in the past I think things got to him a little bit, and maybe it doesn't as much anymore. And that's a, you know, kind of a silly mistake to throw at a guy, you know, revenge for something that happened 3 years earlier. And it was kind of strange how the whole thing developed. Harper was able to serve his sentence right away, and this guy had to wait 3 weeks before his suspension actually started. But it was, you know, for fans to think that it was similar, and why does Harper get that treatment and Strickland doesn't? Well, it's two different things. First of all, Harper, while they both appealed right away, Harper withdrew his and accepted a 1-game reduction and was able to go from 4 games to 3 games. So he was able to sit out a couple of games in San Francisco and in Oakland and be ready for the upcoming Dodgers series, and the Dodgers were the team that knocked out the Nationals last year. So anyway, he withdrew the appeal. Strickland maintained his appeal, and it wasn't until last Tuesday, and these things are always unpredictable. Sometimes they go long, sometimes they go short. He wasn't seen in an appeal hearing till last Tuesday, so it took him baseball about 6 days to rule on it. And maybe they think they were doing the Giants a favor by not suspending him during the Rocky series, because, as you know, you need as many relievers as possible. It didn't matter because they got swept in 4 games.
Right.
But so anyway, they finally ruled that appeal denied, and he was going to start his suspension at some point, and it just happened to be Monday. But you know what? It's such a small story in a season that's gone wrong that it doesn't really matter when he starts it or ends it. The Giants are probably not a whole lot better with him, and maybe not a whole lot worse without him, but they're certainly a bad team, you know, as it is right now, either way.
We'll continue the conversation with John Shea, columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle, right after this. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home with a SunPower residential solar system. Your SunPower elite dealer, SunFirst Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. SunFirst Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. SunFirst Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call SunFirst Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. And get your SunPower solar system today. The top story really right now going forward for the next month is who gets traded. I mean, Johnny Cueto, of course, is at the top of the list. He's got the opt-out that is certainly a consideration for teams that, you know, if they get him, he's probably just going to be a rental. So maybe that devalues him as far as the trade value that he has for the Giants. And then, you know, other players. So who do you think maybe is at the top of the list of players that the Giants could or would trade? And what's their priority? Is this similar to when you're going into a draft and you want the best athlete available kind of thing? You know, they say that for any draft. Let's get the best athlete available, especially the NFL draft. Is that what the Giants are doing? Because they have so many different holes to fill that there really is no top priority?
Yeah. Entering the season, their hole was left field. Now they have holes everywhere. Third base, left field, the entire outfield, the bullpen, the rotation, the defense. There's
no start over
on this roster. But I think Johnny Cueto should get traded. I think he's going to opt out. Who doesn't when they have this opportunity? And I think he'll be a free agent. And I think he'll get a better deal than what's left on his current deal. And that's $84 million over 4 years starting next year. 21, 21, 21, 21. You know, especially if you see games like Mondays, you know, seven innings, two runs, no walks. You know, he looked at video of last year and realized he wasn't aggressive enough to, you know, to the batter. So he went more aggressively against the Braves hitters, and he was back to his old form.
Yeah, but, he looked good. Yeah.
You know, the question is, what would you get for Johnny Cueto? Well, because he could be viewed as only a 2-month rental, you know, maybe not an elite prospect, but a young player who could be an upgrade somewhere on the diamond. If the Giants are going to lose him anyway, you might as well get somebody in return. And, you know, they need improvement, like I said, in a lot of areas, in the outfield, and the bullpen. You know, Pence and Stan are going to be free agents after next season. You know, if Cueto is gone after the season and Kane is off the books, you know, that's two rotation spots they need to fill. But it kind of sounds like a rebuild, doesn't it?
It does sound like a rebuild. I mean, you know, you're going to give your younger players an opportunity. I mean, they've been giving Slater a chance. He looks really good. You would imagine that Arroyo would come back up at some point. Tyler Beede would certainly be in a Giants uniform at some point this year. But I wonder about, you know, who is untouchable besides Posey, Crawford, Panic. I mean, Belt right now, the way he's playing, I don't know. I mean, I would think that he would be somebody that you could end up trading. But then how do you move somebody like that when they have a contract? I mean, it's probably a difficult situation to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, untouchable, Posey, Crawford, Bumgarner, period.
Yeah, Bumgarner, of course,
Panic,
yeah.
Panic is not untouchable. Panic is, you know, could fetch a lot, maybe. You know, he's under club control. You know, he's not arbitration eligible. He's a long way from free agency. Yeah, you know, that's a possibility. Eduardo Nunez will be a free agent. You know, they might not see him in their future, so he could be gone at the deadline. But you bring up Brandon Belt. That's he's probably the most discussed person among the fan base. You know, people like talking about him, and should they keep him? Should they not? What's his value? You know, is the contract too big to move? I mean, fabulous defender, fabulous on-base guy, but he's streaky. He's not a big home run guy for a first baseman, which is hard to be for a left-hander at that ballpark. And I'm not sure you could move a contract that's $72.8 million through 2021. I mean, It's not so bad now. He's making 2.8. Next year, he makes 16. So, you know, he's great at 2.8. Is he great at 16?
No.
So that's the debate. So, the fact is, the Giants have re-signed all the guys that helped them win championships. And this goes back to Aubrey Huff, Marco Scudero. And, you know, it's almost like the golden parachute thing. And those contracts definitely weren't very good, but they kind of rewarded these players for winning it all. And, of course, they took care of the younger guys, the Poseys and the Crawfords and the Belts and even Hunter Pence, who wasn't homegrown, because of what they did, you know, during the championship runs and getting them rings and making the team an awful lot of money. So that was payback, and which was fine at the time. But now these guys are getting older, and maybe they're less productive. So, you know, the more bang for your buck thing happens when players are younger, not when they're older. And now the Giants are in a pickle because they don't really, they didn't expect this. And do they know what to do? I'm not convinced they know what to do yet, because they have a lot of players who might be untradeable, and they have a lot of core guys who they want to keep. But, you know, the results aren't showing that this is a team that's suddenly going to turn it around next year.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Well, time might not be on the Giants' side right now, but it could be on your side with a new Cronspire timepiece, combining 21st century technical innovations with the finest Swiss watchmaking traditions. Cronspire is thrilled to announce the launch of the Kickstarter campaign for its debut line, inspired by the legendary creature that is guardian of the Swiss watchmaking capital of Basel. The Basilisk collection recontextualizes Swiss watchmaking for a modern audience. The 9 models in the collection share a bold style, innovative and unique design, and the exceptional performance expected of timepieces born of the Swiss tradition. Swiss automatic GMT and quartz chronograph movements, premium grade titanium cases, sapphire crystals, scratch resistant with anti-reflective coating, and it's water resistant. Check it out. Cronspire. www.chronspire.com. The bullpen is also a difficult puzzle to solve, John, because you've got Melanson, who you spent all this money on to close games, and now you don't really need him this year. I mean, you're going to be out of it, so you wonder about his trade value. And then the other younger guys, you know, to me it seems like they are losing some confidence. You know, Derek Law, I think maybe he's lost some confidence. Josh Osich, Hunter Strickland is a homegrown guy too. You have your homegrown guys, but how do you rebuild this bullpen? Do you maybe, you know, next year bring in some more veteran guys? They lost that veteran presence that they had, so some of the younger guys just haven't performed the way they would like.
Yeah, I thought they should have brought in one or two more veteran relievers before the season. They put all their money in Melanson, and their next most expensive free agent was Hundley, the catcher, for a couple million. So they really didn't do much beyond getting the one closer.
And that Will Smith got hurt, too. That was another thing, but yeah.
Okay. But, you know, he that was an off season. That goes back to last year, right?
Right.
So when you talk about rebuilding the bullpen, well, they already rebuilt the bullpen, you know, without Romo and Casilla and Lopez and Affeldt the year before. All those guys are gone, so they were supposed to rebuild it with Law and Osich and Strickland and these guys. Well, who do they look up to? I mean, it used to be Lopez or Affeldt, you know, and now who do you look up to? Well, you know, Melanson is a first-year guy, and he's struggling. So there's really nobody that, you know, Contos is really the senior member of the bullpen. So, it would have been nice if they just kind of brought in maybe some veteran relievers on the cheap, even to mentor some of these young guys who've been there and done that, and maybe had some, you know, pennant race experience, and I thought that was a big hole that they didn't fill. Just getting some, you know, veteran arms to, you know, contend or compete for bullpen spots, and maybe winning one or two of those jobs, and then just kind of, you know, hanging out in the bullpen and talking to these young guys. on how the game is played. But right now, I mean, you look at the Monday opener and against the Braves and Law and Osich. I just thought Law was going to be this tremendous setup man this year.
Yeah.
With Melanson, the ninth inning guy. And it's just not happening. And Osich has been up and down. And, you know, it's just not happening in the bullpen. So, you know, you talk about rebuild. Well, they did rebuild, and these were the guys they rebuilt with. But it's just one of the many areas they're going to have to address either in the offseason or the upcoming trade deadline.
Well, we'll see what they end up doing. John, thanks so much for the time. One thing I can almost guarantee, when the Giants do win a game on this road trip, if they finish off this road trip with a win, they're going to probably have players that are saying, oh, this is the game that turns us around. This is it.
No,
all they
you're
need
right.
is
you're
one right. game.
And, you know, I talked to Buster Posey after the Monday loss, and, you know, he spoke about, as did Cueto, that, you know, a streak could be right around the corner. But Posey also admitted that when I asked him, I said, is there a chance that you think this team could, you know, lose some main parts that you've had around during the championship era? He says, everybody in here knows that's a possibility, the way we're mm-hmm. playing.
Yeah.
And you know, that includes Cueto, who wasn't around for the championship era, but certainly is a top dog in the rotation, and who was supposed to help him, you know, get deep into the postseason, but that just hasn't panned out.
All right, well, enjoy the rest of the trip, and we'll see you when you get back to San Francisco.
We'll see you then, Joe. Thanks.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us again on Saturday. We'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco as the Giants take on the New York Mets. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.